Life doesn't happen to you. It happens through you, because planted in the soil of your soul is a seed of infinite potential waiting for the right conditions to grow. And the power to activate it is in your control. That's the law of emergence. And this podcast gives you the tools to turn it on like never before. Welcome to Emergence, a revolutionary path for radical life change with Derek Riedel.
Greetings, my fellow Emergineers. Derek Riedel here, and it's just always such a pleasure to be with you. As I've been saying lately, I just feel this energy start to move through me every time I get ready to get on these calls with you, and it's just getting stronger and stronger, which really tells me that there's something that's being activated as a community. There's something being activated in each of you individually and collectively that is allowing, that's pulling more out of me and is creating a new morphic field. So every time I'm about to step into these calls, I feel the field. And I imagine that some of you are feeling it too. Some of you that are more sensitive. And even if you don't feel it, it's still operating. But I can feel the field that's being created and that's pulling more and more out of me, and that's very exciting. It's really exciting because what I find is more and more things that get downloaded during these calls and when I'm coaching people is often even beyond what I even knew myself. It's a whole new level. So that's just really exciting when that begins to happen. And today we're talking about really a truly critical element, and I know for many of you, what I call the focus factor, and how to decide what's now so that you can do what's next. And as I talked about in the email, you know that you're on the right call if you find yourself struggling to decide what you should focus on or what you should work on now amongst many options and possibilities, afraid that you might make the wrong decision and end up down a dead-end road, so you end up doing nothing, or you end up trying to do everything, and you get bogged down by opportunities or ideas, or the elusive busyness, which really is a stall tactic for doing the thing that really is going to move the needle, and ultimately leaves you overwhelmed or burned out, and truly less productive. So if you've experienced some of those things, you're in the right place. And if you find yourself generally challenged to start and really move in the direction of your big endeavors, your big vision, your bold endeavors, even when you know what you want, or to follow through on them once you start and to actually complete them, you know, to actually complete that book, to start it and to complete it, to decide what you want to write about, to complete that website, to decide what you want to say on it, to build and create and launch that coaching program or healing practice or new entrepreneurial endeavor, to make a choice, to make a decision, which means to cut away from, versus to be perpetually sitting on your psychological emotional fence, because you're afraid that, you know, what if the grass is greener on the other side? What if I'm making the wrong decision? What if it doesn't work out? All of which the ego is tricking you to believe are actually good, reasonable excuses for not taking action, for not making a decision. And they're not, actually. Because the truth is, you can never ultimately know what's right except in hindsight. Now, you can develop intuition to know what's the right, true move, regardless of outcomes and conditions. But you don't develop that until you start acting and then through hindsight discern what it felt like when your intuition led you to something that ultimately worked out and what it felt like when it led to something that didn't. You can't get that except having the focus and the ability to make choices, to make decisions, to build the next stage of your life, to follow through to completion. and to follow through all the thresholds that will otherwise tempt you to lose focus, to start something different, to do multiple things at once, or multiple main things. You can have more than one thing in your life. It's just, what's the main thing? You know, what's the main focus that's really trying to develop right now? And once you get momentum, you can add to it. But the problem is, so many people, because they lack the focus, and we're going to talk about why, they're not able to create real momentum. And so their energy is getting diluted and all over the place, and distracted and all over the place, and fragmented. And again, you end up with busyness, burnout, overwhelm, and you ultimately are less and less productive, meaning actually producing real significant results in your life that are aligned with your highest vision and deepest desire. And if you experience all these, of course, you know you're not alone. It's one of the most common complaints and challenges. But if you haven't learned how to master this, then you're not living the life you're destined for. Because real growth and momentum only comes through consistent, clear choices that are in alignment with your emerging vision and values. And you can't generate the energy that's necessary to achieve this without focus. You know, as I say all the time, you'll hit those thresholds, you'll kick into your coping mechanisms, and you'll find yourself binging on Ben and Jerry's, or worse. But you can, you know, this is not something that only some are gifted with. You know, you look around and see people that seem so focused on the right things and so productive, and you feel like maybe you're just not wired for it. And it might be true that right now your wiring isn't supporting real focus, but it's not true that you don't have the inherent capacity, the same capacity that anyone has. You do. And you can develop masterful focus based on your true vision, rooted in your deepest values, and anchor it in a structure that assures you'll take the bold action needed to succeed. You need all of those. You know, you, as I've been saying lately, and very honestly and very forthrightly saying, you really do need all of these pieces. If anyone's missing, you tend to fall off the path at some point if you ever even get started fully. And, you know, and I'm not saying, and I would be saying this if you were my friend, my family member, my client, whether you were in a program or not in a program, this is principle. We can see it in nature. We can see it in any individual that succeeded, whether it's a parent or an artist or a leader, an inventor, a healer, a spiritual teacher, an entrepreneur. If they don't have all those seven pieces, those seven core pieces for the emergence experience, then they don't. They just can't either even start or create or grow or sustain a continual life of growth and expansion. And don't be under any illusion that just having a life that's working right now means you've arrived. Because your life is infinite, your capacity is infinite, and life, its very purpose is to keep expressing more and more of itself. And so if at any point you're trying to rest on your laurels or find a safe, secure spot, you know, as Jesus said, foxes have holes and what is it? Birds have nests, but there is no place for man's weary head to rest. And what it means is you only place you can ultimately rest is in the truth of your being, in the eternal unfolding progress of life. And to do that successfully, you need to have those seven pieces, which I might go over again on this call. There's the what, there's the why, there's the why nots, the healing the why nots, that's the first three. And the focus comes into around healing the why nots. When the why nots aren't clear, even if you have the what and the why, the focus won't happen. But of course, you need to have the what. You need to know what you're focusing on. And the stronger the why will also determine how much you're able to stay focused. But if you don't heal the why nots, you will hit those thresholds and you will be distracted and fragmented and ultimately dilute your energy because the ego knows if you truly stay focused on the thing you truly want and are meant to be, do, create, and contribute, you will change. You will evolve. You will not be the same person month after month, year after year. And to the ego, that's death. So it will do everything it can to prevent focus on the thing that is emerging. And instead, it will use focus to sabotage you, to focus on what's not working, to focus on what you don't have, to focus on merely being a problem solver instead of a vision holder. And then you will be stuck. So you can have this life that I know all of you want, this abundant, successful life, living your true vision with significance, with divine security, boldly going for your dreams, powerfully giving your gifts, and have the internal fortitude, the soul stamina, to make your word and keep your word with yourself, to start what you need to start, to follow through the thresholds, and to complete those projects and those steps so that you can receive the rewards. You can have all of that, I promise you. There's nothing, there's only one core design, and we're all unique expressions of it. So whether you're a Jesus or a Buddha or a Gandhi or a Martin Luther King Jr. or pick your artist, creator, leader that's truly given their gifts and living a successful, fulfilled life, they're all expressing the same core design, just in a unique way. So you brought that, you came equipped with that same design. You just have to know, as the old cliche goes, how to work, what's the operating manual, right? And to create real, lasting, sustainable success, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, etc., you need to have those seven pieces. And one of the core things is focus. So what is it that really creates focus? What is it that creates it, and what causes us to lose it? And just take a moment to think about a time when you were really focused. What caused it? Think about it. What was it that caused you to be really focused? Think about a time, and it doesn't have to be focused in terms of like your work. It could be anything. Personal, family, your children, yourself, your life. When were you the most focused? What was it that caused it? And remember, everything in emergence is about the right conditions. So there were some conditions that occurred. And ultimately, they're about internal conditions. Even if the external conditions were there, it's because they provided an internal condition. So what was that condition that caused you to become focused? So I can tell you, there's only two core things that really determine focus. Now, there's all kinds of practical things we can do to support focus, having the right tools. Of course, you know, knowing what we want to create, the vision, the what, and having different tools, support, leverage, all that stuff is good. You know, having a calendar, actually writing stuff down, you know. But without this element, because a lot of you have done a lot of that, you still won't follow through. Your focus won't sustain. So there's only two core things that create focus: pain and pleasure. So if you look at those times when you had the most focus, it was because you were in extreme pain, whether it was your child was really sick and you were in extreme fear, and it was like, phew, there was nothing that could move you from the focus to help your child, or a family member, or yourself. You were in extreme pain, and everything in you became focused on getting out of pain. And there was nothing that could easily distract you from that. And the more pain, the more focus. And that is the gift of pain. When you know how to use it consciously, it will focus you like a laser, if you don't use some form of anesthetic to take you out of pain and avert the gift that focus and that pain is trying to give you. But pain is a mighty focuser. Similarly, if you are in great pleasure or have the promise of great pleasure, you become very focused. Like, you know, that hot date where you have a lot of hope or expectation of some great pleasure, whether it's the connection, the kiss, or beyond, how focused do you suddenly become to get the right clothes, to get your hair looking right, to get the right makeup, to get the right whatever? How focused do you suddenly become? You're like driven. If there's a sufficient level of expectation of pleasure, or maybe you're so hungry, and it's like you just got to get some food. Maybe you're shopping or you're cooking, or it's like you are so focused, right? You don't find yourself just suddenly, you know, floating away and surfing the internet meaninglessly and mindlessly. No way. If you truly have the expectation of pleasure, like it's really high in you, or the expectation or experience of pain, you become focused. So this is because the brain, the mind, is got this core fundamental pain-pleasure mechanism. It's rudimentary in the sense that it's without thought, although thought contributes to it, but it was there before we even had thought. It was an evolutionary catalyst that you've moved towards pleasure and away from pain that ensures or increases the chances you'll survive as an evolutionary species. So this pain pleasure is built in there to drive you to do what you need to do to survive and to thrive so that this human experiment makes it. And it's not just human, it's in animals as well. Because we are, in part animal as a human. So the problem is that while that was initially truly useful and was used only towards the safety and evolutionary security of our species, as we developed more cognitive capacities, as we developed more metacognition, the ability to think about what we're thinking about, and we began to, you know, really think and contemplate and make judgments, and often those judgments were not correct. They were based on very limited knowledge. We started to create stories and concepts that created beliefs and then emotional patterns that were either increasing the pain, the pleasure, or increasing the pain, or decreasing the pain and increasing the pleasure based on these beliefs. Not based on facts, not based on real, intrinsic, evolutionary, instinctual things, but now based on stories. And so that means we could have all kinds of pain now associated with the very thing that we need to actually keep growing. And we can have all kinds of pleasure associated with the very thing that is thwarting our growth. So this very mechanism that was there to ensure our survival can actually hasten our demise. It can actually destroy us. It can actually prevent our evolution. So that's where the rub comes in. We have to take back the control of this mechanism in favor of the truth, the deeper emerging vision, so that the pain, pleasure process is ultimately aligned where there's more pain associated with not growing and changing and being in the truth and living the truth, and more pleasure associated with doing it. You see? Now, just a quick aside, down the rabbit hole a little bit, eventually we transcend even the pain-pleasure mechanism. All mystical enlightenment paths are not about manipulating the pain-pleasure mechanism, they're about transcending it. Because our whole human identity, our whole ego, is actually based on the pain-pleasure mechanism. It's what Buddha called craving and aversion. And all true enlightenment paths are about ultimately releasing all craving and aversion, meaning that whole impulse to get or get rid of in order to be free or happy. So whether it's Jesus talking about being willing to lose your life on one hand and love your enemy on the other, or Buddha talking about releasing the pain, the craving and aversion, they're both about the dissolution and the destruction or disintegration of the ego, which is made of the pain-pleasure mechanism. But in the meantime, you know, and that happens every time you do mindfulness meditation and you observe all of the push and pull of life, but you don't react to it, you are breaking down that structure and becoming more and more liberated. And then underneath the pain-pleasure mechanism, there is just the presence. There is just the perfect pattern. And it unfolds through inspiration and divine power that doesn't require it to be going away from pain or towards pleasure. The divine doesn't need that mechanism. The divine is fulfillment, is the total fulfillment of your being. And when you're living primarily from that, it just, and it transcends and it overrides any of the pain-pleasure mechanism. But in the meantime, that pain-pleasure mechanism is, you know, working overtime. And you have to put it under your behest, under your control. You know, just like visualization and affirmations, once you're living from the truly mystical life, you don't need any of that. Those are mental tools that you want to take back control over. Otherwise, you'll be visualizing and affirming stuff that's not congruent with your emerging vision. Once that's conditioned so it's all congruent, you can let go of that. And the same with this. So it's all relative, but we have to take back control of this pain-pleasure mechanism so that we can put focus in our favor. And so we're always being focused, right? We're always being focused. Just like we always have faith. It's just, what do we have faith in? You know, you all have really good faith muscles. It's just a lot of us have faith in lack, faith in disease, faith, you know, that people are going to screw us over, faith that life is a bitch and then you die, you know, faith that, you know, fertilizer happens. We have great faith. It's just, what do we have faith in? What do we have the faith of? Do we have the faith of a human being or the faith of the divine? And likewise, focus, we all have great focus. It's just, what are we focused on? Focused on distraction, focused on avoiding, focused on anesthetizing ourselves. Say that one 5 times fast. Or are we focused on choosing, starting, following through, finishing? Are we focused on the vision or are we focused on the problem? Are we focused on avoiding pain more than seeking pleasure? Or focused on avoiding pain more than expressing our true nature? So now if you find that you can't seem to focus or pick a lane to pursue amongst all of your choices, or you can't quite start a project or follow through or finish, it's because you've associated more pain with choosing, starting, or finishing, and more pleasure with avoiding, distracting, and numbing. I want you to hear that. If you find that you can't seem to focus on picking a lane, choosing a path to pursue, starting something, following through those thresholds, or finishing, it's because you've associated more pain with actually choosing, with actually starting, with actually following through or finishing, and more pleasure with avoiding, distracting, or numbing out. Now you might say, that doesn't make sense, Derek. I want to pick a lane. I really, really want to. It's actually creating a lot of pain in me not to pick. And that might be true. It's creating pain, but it's not creating enough pain. The pain of picking is still, the pain of actually choosing is still greater than the pain of not choosing. This is simple neurobiology, you know, psychoneurophysics. If the pain was in fact greater around not choosing than it was around choosing, automatically your mind, your reticular activating system, and ultimately your biology would follow and it would choose. Or if the pleasure around choosing was so great that it was greater pleasure associated than the pain for not choosing, automatically you would move towards it. So now you got to break it down. You know, the pain of choosing a lane or starting something is still greater than not. And the pleasure is still greater to stay where you are than to go where you really are meant to. So you got to break it down. And I invite you to look at some area right now where this is happening. What are you afraid will happen if you choose? If you choose something to focus on and see it through, what are you afraid is going to happen? Or if you start something, or if you stay with it, no matter what you feel, or if you finish it, what are you afraid is going to happen? If you really choose and focus in and create the structures of support, accountability, commitment, and make your commitment public and be held accountable and actually choose and do until you succeed or achieve, what are you afraid is going to happen? Feel that. You might make the wrong choice. And if that's your thing, now allow to arise in your mind all the memories of wrong choices. How when you were a little child and you were doing your best and you got told you were doing it wrong and it crushed you or it scared you or you got in trouble. In school, you were just being creative, but you were told it was wrong. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. Or maybe you tried something and failed, but trying and failing was normal until somebody said to you, oh, what a loser, or made you feel bad or ashamed or scared or rejected. Maybe you tried to be a certain way and you got judged. Family, friends, teachers, students. So there was pain associated with you doing or being the thing you want to do or be. Or pain associated with failing or losing. Now, all of those memories of pain, all of that, that's what your little pain of not choosing is competing against. The part says, well, no, I want to pick a lane. It's creating a lot of pain. Yeah, not very much compared to that, to this list of memories and experiences of pain or shame or guilt or fear, judgment. That's much more powerful. All those memories are really what's behind that. The pain, the failure, the judgment, the guilt, the shame. Do you think that your pain of not picking is more than that? If it was, you would choose. And then how about the pleasure? You might say, well, no, Derek, you understand, I'd have a lot of pleasure if I could just choose and focus. Really? It's based on all the reasons why you're afraid to choose or start or follow through or finish or get what you need to really be successful, the structures to become visible and come out of hiding, you know, whatever it would be required. You think that there's a lot of pleasure associated with that? No. There's all kinds of memories of you coming out of hiding and you being visible and you choosing and starting, and there's way too much pain. The pleasure is very minimal compared to the pain. And then the pleasure you've derived by learning to stay the same, by coming up with good reasons and excuses to stay in your comfort zone, that is actually more pleasurable than your imagined pleasure of going for it. Again, otherwise you'd do it. But now the pleasure potential is there. You just haven't created the conscious association that will allow this to flip. You haven't taken the time, or rather the ego hasn't let you, to really feel, to really imagine. If you were to really say yes to your yes, and really choose a lane, and really follow through, and really build that business, or practice, or book, or whatever, and really do it, and then feel what that feels like, see yourself living that, and imagine, and I invite you to do this as we're talking, and see the impact it would have on your life, on your family, on modeling for your children and friends, on how many people you could touch, and the look in their eyes as you impact them and influence them, the joy you would feel of fulfillment and accomplishment, how that would impact your health and your wealth and your creativity and your sense of enjoyment and adventure and travel and luxury, as you give yourself time to really stack all of the benefits of you going down the path, choosing, following through, creating the structure, getting the support system, being visible, being accountable, and getting all those rewards and results as a result of that, you will start to stack and build a feeling tone, a sense of joy and pleasure and possibility that is greater than the weak little pleasure of staying small and comfortable. Likewise, and I invite you to do this now, instead of looking at the cost of saying yes to your yes and choosing and following through, which is all that you're focused on now, if you're not doing it, you're looking at the cost of doing it, whether it's the cost of your time, your energy, risking being rejected or failing, cost of money, whatever it is, you're focused more on the cost of doing it. But now let's focus on the cost of not doing it. Again, the ego blocks you from really getting into this. What would be the cost of you not finally getting the support you need, making the choice in your life to say yes to your yes, to choose a lane, to begin building something for real, to get the inner and outer healing, to get the support, to get the structures, to have the focus? If you don't do that and you don't finish that book or build that coaching program or give your gifts to the world or change your family legacy or whatever the thing is that you would be doing if you fully went for it, if you don't do that and you keep living the life you're currently living, because it's not going to even just stay the same. It's actually going to get worse because life is progressive. You know, the old saying, you're either growing or you're dying. You're either expanding or you're actually contracting in comparison to the evolutionary impulse of life. So where will you be a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, if you keep having all the excuses and reasons why you're not choosing, why you're not doing everything it takes to live the life of your dreams, to give your gifts, to become the powerful, creative leader you're meant to be in your own unique way? Think of all the people that won't get that gift, that will suffer as a result, including your family, including yourself. How will that impact you mentally, emotionally, physically, financially? It's not going to get better. Life doesn't just happen. It happens just, lawfully and orderly. Whatever's missing is what you're not giving. Whatever you're waiting for, you're waiting with and weighing it down. Life is only ever going to be as much as you let out of you. It can never be more, it can never be other than what you let out of you. Because there is no life out there. You're not really in the world. The whole world is in your consciousness. And your experience of life is nothing more or less than the activity of your consciousness and how much of life you're letting out, how much you're saying yes to your yes. And all the excuses and reasons and judgments and projections onto your experience that say, well, when this happens, then I will. If they would only change, if I only had more time, more money, more support, more clarity, all of that is a stall tactic and a block tactic of the ego that's actually blocking the inexhaustible life and wealth and health and joy within you from getting out, fooling you to think it's out there somewhere and it's eventually going to come to you. Please hear my words. It will never come to you. Not in a million lifetimes. It can't, because there's nothing out there. It's all in here. This is what Jesus meant when he said the kingdom of heaven is within you. It will not come through observation. It's not going to be over there or over here, guys. Stop looking for it over there. It's in you. And Buddha said it, called it Nirvana, and Lao Tzu called it the Tao. It's in you. And the only way more can come into your life is if more comes out of you. So take a moment and really look at this. And no amount of time or space, time does not heal wounds. Time does not create progress. Time is a canvas. Time and space is just a canvas. It's just a measurement tool for the unfoldment of the infinite eternal nature of your being. It has no power to heal or progress. It's a canvas to paint your concept of reality on. If you're not painting, it won't change. But you're always painting something based on pain, based on pleasure, based on avoiding, or based on choosing. You're always painting. So take a moment to experience what's the cost of you not totally saying yes and stepping into it. If you keep telling yourself year after year, I'll be ready next year when this happens or that changes, how's that working for you? Now flip back to what's the cost, or what's the benefit rather, of choosing, of getting off the fence, and of choosing a lane, a direction, and of committing to it, and of actually getting everything you need, not just some of the things, but everything you need, making a decision. I will no longer, it's like, you know, the old thing of the military talks about. One of the biggest mistakes military ever do is to send less troops and support than is needed to actually get the job done. That's worse than to send none at all. Of course, if you send none at all, you know, war breaks out, even worse. But to send less than is to basically go on a suicide mission. So with our own life, just like a doctor, if a doctor knows it takes 10 days of penicillin to cure your thing, but they're afraid of you feeling too uncomfortable, and so they only prescribe you 5, that's worse than you not taking it at all in some cases. And there's a name for that. It's called malpractice. So, you know, I don't want to malpractice you and tell you that, you know, you can just kind of sort of put your toe in the water, kind of sort of put your foot out on that invisible bridge and test it all, because in my experience, that's not enough. You need to choose. What's that famous Goethe poem, you know? I think it's Goethe. When one chooses, I'm gonna look this up. I think I've quoted it a couple times recently and quoted it wrong. Let me just see here. When one advances. I just want to get this, guys, because I think it's really important. Here it is. Here it is. Let's look at this here. I think it's actually it's attributed to Goethe, but it's actually from William Hutchinson Murray. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. Providence is another name for God or the divine. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidences and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. And if it was today, they would have said, or her way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. So, you know, and as the Gospel of Thomas says, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. So this is in a very real way a matter of life and death. This willingness to choose, to make a decision that's in alignment with our highest values and vision, that may not be comfortable, that may be scary, that we may not see the evidence that we're supported, but to let ourselves feel not just the cost of making the decision, which is what we've done up to this point, which is why we're stuck to the extent that we are, but to let ourselves really see and feel what is the cost of not deciding. What is the cost if we don't say yes to our yes? If we don't choose what we're going to focus on, if we don't stay with it through the threshold, if we don't complete it the next level and the next level, if we don't get the people, the structures, the support that we need so that we can stay the course, if we don't do that, if we don't do everything it takes to become the being that we're meant to be and give the gifts, where are we going to be a year from now, 5 years from now, at the end of this lifetime? Lying on our bed, I could have, I should have, if only. That's not for you guys. Not now, not anymore. And you can't wait for it to feel safe or secure. You can't wait for people to agree with you, your spouses, your partners, your family. If I had waited for my partners and my friends and my family to agree with me, I'd still be working as a waiter. I'd be a damn good one, but I'd still be a waiter. I had to risk losing everything, and I lost some things, but they weren't congruent ultimately. And the things that stuck around and came back, family, friends, etc., they all came back at a higher level. But if you're going to hold on to the structures and the situations that keep you comfortable and think you're going to be able to create the focus and the power and the energy necessary to change your life, it's an impossibility. Because you're living, as Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem at the level of the problem. And your current life is the problem, in the sense that it's the vibrational container that's keeping you where you are. And the solution is outside of that. And you have to risk leaving the container as the acorn risks releasing its protective shell for the oak to emerge. And to do that requires intense focus. And to have intense focus requires that you get honest with the pain that is really in you, that you maybe are covering up with all kinds of rationalizations and comfort and other forms of anesthetization. The pain of you not finally living the life you were born for, shining the genius and the gifts you were created for, making the impact you were made for, having the wealth and abundance you were designed for like the rest of nature, not just getting by. Look at the leaves on a tree. They don't have just enough leaves to get by. It's abundant. It's luxurious. It's opulent. That's what you were designed for. That's what it means to show forth the glory of God. You're not showing forth the glory of God by just getting by just having enough, by just appeasing your family, your spouse, your parents, by you not rocking the boat too much, by you making sure they don't reject you or leave you or... That's not glorifying God. That's glorifying human consciousness. Fear. That's choosing fear and limitation over love and truth. And it's also not loving for them. You are actually manipulating your conditions and controlling them so that you can feel safe. and you're creating a condition where they don't have the opportunity to rise any higher than they are unless they suddenly get more awakened than you. Now, if everything I'm saying is creating more pain in you and making you even less likely to make a choice, that's understandable. But that's why you need to then do the inner work or have the support in doing the inner work to realize how much pain you'll have if you don't. To get even really honest with the pain you have staying small or staying comfortable or staying inconvenience or staying with the excuse that you can't afford it. When are you ever going to be able to afford it? It's got to come out of you. It's not going to come to you. If you don't have enough to afford it, you will continue to not have enough to afford it. Even if you get more, your expenses will rise proportionally and you'll be broke at a higher income bracket. Until you step out, regardless of your body condition, your bank account, your boss, your business, your partners, and stand in your truth, in your power, in your vision, and go for it with everything you've got and invest everything you've got in living the life you were created for. And take the time to really see and feel all the benefits, all the pleasures of you living that life. And all the pain of you not. Until you must. You know, like the old Tony Robbins saying, if you can't, then you must. And when you must, you can. What changed? That equation works. It makes sense. When you must, then you can. But you got to get to the place of must. And if you find yourself that you can't, I can't afford it, I can't do that to my partner, to my family member, then you must stand in your truth and risk that. Otherwise, you are, by very description, a prisoner of your condition. You are, by the very description, thwarting and blocking and repressing what's actually trying to emerge. And that energy will wreak havoc in your life. It will lead to frustration, depression, burnout, overwhelm, and eventually breakdown. Again, I didn't make this up. I didn't make the rules, you know. This is principle. Life will triumph ultimately, whether you like it or not. Ultimately, you will like it more, but your mind or your ego doesn't know that. But life will triumph. Life will have its way as you, and if it has to destroy your human experience for it to break free and break loose and express itself, it will do that. And the more you've prayed and activated your deepest desires, or just had your back against the wall and desired more, you've activated more life in you. You can't help it. Life will have its way. Life will win the day. Even if it has to destroy your human incarnation and take you out of this experience so that it can finally express. That's the real significance of Jesus cursing the fig tree that's not bearing fruit of its kind, and it dies. It's like, wow, that wasn't very Christ-like. It's actually entirely Christ-like. It's a metaphor. It's a cautionary tale. You know, there are great stories that are happy endings, and there are great stories that are tragedies and cautionary tales. They all serve a purpose in quickening our consciousness so we move out of the morass and the tangled web of safety and security and comfort and convenience in the human belief system that would try to hold our world together while changing, that leads to all of our conflict and our frustration and breakdown. So that's why, you know, I've been saying lately that I've been feeling this energy to speak to you guys like mature spiritual adults and tell you the way it really is and not in any way soft pedal it so that you won't get scared or feel overwhelmed and back away. Some of you will. Some of you are hearing me and going, holy crap, man. I don't know about this. I think I'm going to go, you know, I'm fine. I'm good where I'm at, you know. You know, and that's okay. It really is okay. But some of you are like, oh, you're feeling the fire in your belly. You know what I'm saying is true, and you know you want it. And so part of what I'm doing here is an energetic flip. I'm trying to get your pain-pleasure mechanism on your side I want you to feel way more pain staying the same and staying with your stories of, I can't afford it, I don't have the time, money, the energy, whatever. I'm afraid so-and-so is going to think this about me. I'm afraid my relationship is going to fall apart. I want you to feel more pain associated with staying the same and trying to be safe, and more pain with not going for your dream and your vision and giving your gifts and bearing the fruit that you came here for and serving your role in this ecosystem of the planet. I want you to feel more pain around not doing that and around staying the same, and more pleasure around what could be possible if you did do that. And what could be the quality of your newly formed relationships and body and heart and mind and bank account. I can tell you one thing, it'll be better than it's ever been. You may not be in the same job or the same relationships or the exact same configuration of structures, but it will be the thing that your soul and your heart most deeply desires. If your relationships aren't serving you to be totally empowered, to speak your truth and stand in your truth and be authentic and be all the loving and the beauty and the power that you're meant to be, those won't stay unless that other individual is willing to rise and grow with you. But do you really want to be in a relationship where you're having to give away your power? Or a job? Or a household? Or a geographical location? So I want you to feel the possibility of what's in store for you when you live your vision, when you say yes, when you do whatever it takes to get busy doing it, to get busy living. I think that's what the saying is, if you're not busy living, you're busy dying or something like that. Because there's an energetic that's emerging on the planet. There's a progressive energy. And it's not going to wait for us to feel safe and secure and comfortable and convenient. This train is moving. And if we're not getting on board this evolutionary impulse within us, it's speaking to you, then we are not only left at the station, but we are going backwards. So this is your chance. This is your call. No more waiting. No more appeasing. No more placating. No more numbing out. No more just getting by. No more allowing good enough to be good enough. Nothing less than a full-bodied, whole-souled, open-hearted yes to your yes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to live my destiny, to give my gifts, to get the wisdom, the guidance, the direction, the inner transformation, the support, the structures, so that I will not look back and have the same old story, but I'll look forward and have a life of true vision and true contribution and true fulfillment without regrets. As I talked about at the live event, this realization around regrets, we were not designed to deal with regret. Regret is when we don't say yes to our yes and the opportunity passes. Nowhere in nature is that possible. Nature can't resist its yes. And if it did, it would destroy nature. The whole ecosystem would collapse. We have metacognition, so we can resist it, but we weren't designed to deal with regret. It's abnormal. It's unnatural to not allow our yes to unfold. But we were designed to be resilient enough to deal with the challenges, the growth challenge of saying yes, bumping into our thresholds, having to get stronger, having to get support, having to grow internally and build better structures and all that is required for us to carry more energy and keep growing. We were designed to deal with that. Just like the jack pine is designed to handle a forest fire that is necessary to crack open its seed pods and germinate its progeny. It's designed to handle that. It can take the fire. You can handle the fire. The fire of saying yes and the fear of what the world's going to do or say, all of that you can handle. You were built to be resilient for that. You weren't built for regret. It's abnormal. Now, I'm not saying you can't get over it. I've just seen that it's much, much harder to get over regret of not saying yes to your yes and looking back. Much, much harder than it is to handle the stress of growth. You get it? The fear and the stress of growth makes you stronger when you work with it. Regret weakens you. It's much harder to get over regret than it is to handle and grow through the stress of growth. So we want to be moving towards that and mitigating and ultimately eliminating our resistance to our yes so that we don't end up with regret.
Thank you for listening to the Emergence Podcast. Please visit emergencetraining.com to learn more and get a free training on the law of emergence. Thank you once again, and stay inspired.